Continue on in our efforts to cover the church theme. As you see here on the front of your bulletin, the man is telling this fellow that's in trouble to look to Jesus and live, right? And as you see, this man's got attacks coming from every angle. All of these snakes are just biting him all over. And then that one that got a grab of his leg is the snake of sin. And that thing's got a hold on him, and it's not biting him to make him feel good, but it's biting him to bring him harm or to bring him death. Now, if you go on the inside of your bulletin, let's look at that left side this morning. And this is coming from Numbers, chapter number 21, 4 through 9. Now, as we said, this is that example or that event that was happening in Israel that was all self-inflicted. This all happened because they didn't do what they were supposed to do. Look at Numbers 21 and verse number 4. It says, and they journeyed from Mount Or by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Verse 5, it says, the people spake against Moses and also against God. Against God and also against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is what? No bread, neither is there any what? Water. For our soul loathe this light bread. Verse number 6. And the Lord sent what?
Fiery serpents.
Yep.
Among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died.
Yep. Didn't I? Now, I told you this was self-inflicted. This is self-inflicted. I can tell you flat-footed that you are your worst enemy. A lot of times we want to point the finger at other people, but you are your worst enemy. You are the one that causes you to step back and not do things that you know your soul is telling you you need to do. Especially when it comes down to getting your soul ready to go back with Jesus. Soul knows that it has a set time. The real you knows that it has an appointed time to be here on this earth. That you don't have, it is the flesh and all of this other stuff that is around you that makes you think that you're going to be on the earth forever. But the soul knows. The real you knows that it has a set time. It has a time to be born and a time to die. And that soul is not satisfied with this stuff. You sit down at the table, you go to the store, you go on vacation, you go around and drive and sit in the park. That's not your soul that's benefiting from that stuff. That's the flesh. And we have to understand that this world is not going to help us or to help us focus on our soul. This world will do more damage it to us in terms of distracting us, discouraging us from focusing on the things that really matter. You notice even in the text, the Lord brought them, as we were sharing down at the convocation, the Lord brought them by a very area that he had already shown him his power. The Red Sea was right there. Seemed like to me every time they looked over there, they should have remembered what Jesus did for them. And it's the same way with you. Every time you drive down certain streets, every time you hear certain things on the news, every time you see certain people behaving like you behave, it should be a reminder to you that the Lord brought me out. I thank Jesus for his grace and his mercy, because if it wasn't for his grace and his mercy, there go me. Right? That's true. You all know it. If you ride by certain neighborhoods, you know that some of them corners you stood on. Some of those corners you still would be standing on if the Lord wasn't gracious and merciful to you. You see funerals. funerals time and time again. You know people that have died, people that you may have played with as a child or hung out with as an adult. These people are no longer on earth. And you say, well, why are they not here and I'm still here? It's because of the Lord's grace and his mercy. And every time the Lord brings you by these things, it is not for you to murmur and complain about where you want to be at or what you think you deserve. That's what was the people's problem. They thought they deserved more than what they were getting. And how dare you develop that kind of an attitude? First of all, you were in bondage because of your poor choice. Remember, the Lord told them from the beginning, do not leave the promised land. They were already there. Do not leave the promised land. But because of the famine, and it seemed like it would be an easier life to live, they said, let's go down to Egypt. That's in the book of Genesis. They had a choice. They made the choice to leave where they were at because they did not want to endure the hardness. And that's just like you and I. Enemy sometimes will put that in our mind, especially when it comes down to holiness. And you see what come along with holiness. What come along with holiness is a sacrifice. It requires that you get out of yourself. It requires that you put Jesus at the forefront of everything that you do and you say. What Elder Scott was going over yesterday, he said when he had that job, he became an administrator in the school and there were certain responsibilities that came along with it. You know, you had to do all of these, participate in all of these extracurricular activities. And a lot of those games and events or dances would be against his schedule. Because it seemed like every time they want to have these things, it would be on church nights. And this is no different. I can remember even when I was playing sports and my parents were in the church. And they were doing their best to support what I wanted to do. And it seemed like all of the games would always be on church times. And as a child, I didn't think nothing of it. You know, I just wanted to play. But when you're talking about someone that was trying to stay saved, trying to live for Jesus, you know, this stuff, sitting up watching somebody run up and down a court or run up and down a field, don't do nothing for your soul. It may make your flesh happy. It may make you feel good to yell and scream or whatever, but it doesn't do anything for your soul. And here they wanted to do something that was going to help their soul. And the enemy tried to put you in a situation where to make you think you have to go along with his program. That's true. The devil loves to put us all in situations where he tries to make you think you have to go along with his program. And the Lord is looking at you to see where you're going to stand up.
Yes.
Where you're going to stand up and let me know the desire of your heart.
Right.
Not the world, but you let Jesus know the desire of your heart.
Right.
You go to the Lord in prayer right then and there and say, Jesus, you know I want to be with the saints.
Right.
Jesus, you know I want to be somewhere where I can focus on my soul.
Right.
When you're down on your knees crying out to Jesus, that's focusing on your soul.
Right.
It's not focusing on your flesh, it's focusing on your soul. You say, well, sometimes when I'm down there, I'm feeling this kind of way. I'm feeling that kind of way. Identify where the hindrance is at. Be honest. What is the thing that's trying to prevent you from taking care of your soul? It's the flesh. You say, my knees is hurting, my back is hurting. That's flesh. That has nothing to do with your soul. The soul needs the name of Jesus. The soul knows that the only way I can live is I got to have the name of Jesus. Without that name of Jesus, I don't have no life. I'm not able to recover from the things that I'm going through. Whether those poor choices, you know, as I said before, these poor choices resulted in them receiving the punishment from Jesus. That's true. Yeah, that's right. They went through and they went by the place where the Lord delivered them. And instead of thanking Jesus, when they walked by the Red Sea, they found an opportunity to complain, to murmur. According to the scripture, they began to not only speak against Jesus, they spoke against the Lord's preacher, the Lord's leader. That's the truth. That's why I say everybody out there with a Bible in their hand is not called by Jesus. That's why some folk can get away with it. Get away with it. They're talking bad about them and everything else. And don't nothing happen, but you better mark it. When you talk bad about the Lord's preacher, there's a punishment to go along with it. The Lord know how to get next to you. Yes, he does. Why? Because he has put that person there to be a guide for you. Huh? Come on, go over to Romans. We were there last week, but I want to hear it again. Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 13. Romans 10, 13. Yes.
And it reads, for whosoever
shall call upon the name of the Lord. That's truth. Keep going.
How then shall they call on him?
Now Jesus is showing you how you can get to the point of calling on him. Now he's working in the reverse order. But pay attention to the order now. He said, you say, do you want to be saved? He said, yeah, you want to be saved? You need to call on Jesus. Now you say, the Lord is saying, how shall you call on him in whom you have what? Whom you not believe. So that let me know before I even open up my mouth and say the name Jesus, I have to be a believer. I've got to be one that's willing to trust and lean and depend and rely on Jesus. No matter what I'm going through, I have to be a person that believes in the power of Jesus' name. I got to believe that Jesus is the key to the door being shut and open. That's true. I got to believe Jesus is the cure to my disease or my sickness. Jesus is the one that will make me feel better. When I'm feeling down in the dumps and I don't think I can see my way out, I got to believe that Jesus is my way out. That's the truth, saints. You, and in no sense of you opening up your mouth and calling on his name if you don't believe in him. You've got to believe that the name is the key to everything that you need.
Right.
Else you'll just be calling his name, as one writer said, beating the air.
Yeah.
Huh? Whole lot of bodily exercise. But you won't be getting no results.
Yeah.
I want to call Jesus and get results.
Right.
Huh? Yeah. That's the truth. I need to be able to say Jesus, and Jesus comes right in and fixes my issue. Huh? Come on. And it starts with my thinking. It starts with my mind. That's the truth. It's not as though I'm going to be able, I can't look to Jesus as being my genie in the bottle. As though he's going to, you know, resolve the things and make them work out the way I desire for them to work out. See, these people, when they came to this position, they did not believe, they were looking for Jesus to be a genie. So in other words, Jesus, do this and give me bread and water. Jesus, that ain't how this work. I supply you with your needs. I'm the one that gives you the strength to get from point A to point B. And once you get from that point A to point B, I want to see a response from you. What kind of response? I want to hear you say, thank you, Jesus. Jesus, I appreciate what you did for me. Jesus, I realize if it wasn't for your grace and your mercy, I would not be able to get where I am. Why? Because before, I was in a house of bondage. I'm the one that caused me to be where I was at because I wanted a quick fix. But you've already showed me many signs and many wonders. You allowed me to cry out to you, and you spared my life when the death angel was coming through the land. Jesus, you did all of this for me, right? That's the truth. And when my enemy was bold and tried to attack me, and my back was up against the wall, you allowed me to walk across on dry ground. And not only walk across on dry ground, you let the thing that should have been my death be the death of my enemy. Huh? And then the Lord let the Red Sea come back down. And it killed all the Pharaoh and his army. And then he just didn't let the sea consume them. Lord, let their bodies swim up on the shore. Y'all know that? He is a shore. You're talking about going to the beach, but this wasn't the beach you wanted to sit on. This was a beach full of death. There was nothing but animals and humans laying there. Carcasses were laying all on us on the shore. And the Lord said, this is a memorial to you. Huh? And now what kind of memorial? Jesus, nothing to play around with. Jesus, I'll kill you in this journey if you fool around on me, right? That's the truth. That's right. Who killed Pharaoh's army? Jesus did it. He allowed that Red Sea to come and swallow them up. And then he didn't allow that death to pollute the water. He spewed that death. out on the land to remind who? The living. The living, what God will do to you when you turn your back on him, right? Jesus, nothing to play around with, saints. And you would have thought that they, if anybody would have remembered, they would have remembered. Huh? That's how sometimes I think we read these scriptures and we run past them too fast. And we don't let our brains go back and remember, okay, what is it? What, notice what the Lord is saying here.
Thank you, Lord.
He brought them by the place where he delivered them. And instead of them remembering what Jesus had done, look at what they said. They didn't just speak against Jesus. They spoke against Moses. As though Moses was the cause of them being here. Isn't that something? And you see, sometimes we're going to get to a point in our living where the Lord is going to say, enough is enough. Huh? Come on, do y'all believe that?
Amen.
We're going to get a point in our living where the Lord is going to say, enough is enough.
Right.
And he is going to open up his wrath. Huh?
Is.
Come on, that's what the scripture is saying.
Is.
The Lord is going to open up his wrath. Verse number 6, you don't see the Lord giving no more warning.
Nope.
Huh? He ain't giving no more warning. He's letting you do all the talking. Verse number 5, you doing all the talking. But the next time you're going to hear from Jesus, it's going to be judgment. Huh? That's how we used to sing that song. Uh-oh, judgment. Huh? See the sign of the judgment. Huh? Well, young folk, we used to do that in church. Uh-oh, judgment. The saints used to say, oh, judgment. Oh. Well, we were the young people. We went about, we said, uh-oh, judgment. Uh-oh, judgment. And why? Because that was the next thing that they saw. They didn't hear no more warning from Jesus. They didn't hear no more, you need to repent. You need to change your ways from Jesus. They didn't hear that no more. The Lord had been telling them that all along. See, that's what I'm trying to tell you. One day your time is going to run out. And when it run out, you're going to have to face the Lord's judgment. That's truth. You notice in verse number 6, the judgment came. And what did the Lord send? Fiery serpents. Huh?
Among the people.
And this is us. This is us. We'll be quick to say, oh, Lord, the devil is attacking me. Is it the devil? Is it the devil? Or did Jesus pour out his wrath on you? Huh? Come on, saints. Do y'all understand this? That's why saints, when stuff come up bad in their life, little hardships, saints, they go back and do some examination. Saints won't go around talking about the devil did this. Saints say, oh, Jesus, is there something that you're not happy about? Huh? Because it's a difference between Satan attacking and the Lord allowing judgment to come on you. When the Lord allows judgment to come on you, you need to go to the Lord, to the source, and say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Why, Lord? Because I'm wrong. I made some bad choices. I made some bad decisions. And I done put myself in a mess. And you are just in doing whatever you do to me. But I need you to be gracious and mercy. Jesus, give me another opportunity to get myself right. Right? That's the truth. Look at it. Lord allowed these fiery serpents to come and bit these people. Huh? Body folk died. Huh? Don't you? That's why I'm not shocked. Not in this whole time that I've been in holiness. And when the Lord allow judgment to come, and I mean judgment, sometimes the Lord gets like that husbandman, and instead of pruning, he just cuts it off. Huh? He just cut the whole branch off. And you see much people fall by the wayside. And you'll be wondering, say, well, what happened to them? You know, why won't they come back? And you say, you don't know the history. You don't know how much the Lord been trying to work with them. Been trying. The Lord says he's long-suffering. That's scripture. The Lord says he is long-suffering. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should do what? Come to repentance. Don't you realize the Lord been trying to get them to turn from their wicked ways, and they were none of his reproof received. That's scripture, saints. Lord said, therefore, I'm going to let your worst fear come on you. What's your worst fear? The wicked fear death. That's what the wicked fear. They fear death. The wage of sin is what? That's right. You can let the devil fool your mind if you want, but you fear death. You fear it because you know if you leave this earth without Jesus, you have nothing to look forward to but torment. You know how you treated the Lord. You know how you treat Jesus from day in to day out. And you know you can do better than what you're doing, right? And you know if the Lord should take the breath out your body, he is very just and allowing you to enter right into hell and turning a deaf ear to you, right? Why? Because you turned a deaf ear to him. You were none of his reproof received. Huh? That's the truth. Isn't that the truth? Lord took the time to give you a name. To do what? To save you from your sin. And all he tells you to do is just believe in him, right? Don't you see the condition of your salvation? It stems on that word, what? Belief. Believe, right? Believe in Jesus. Believe that all of the power is in the name of Jesus. Everything that you need is in the name of Jesus. If I'm feeling incomplete, the name will make me feel complete. If I'm feeling sore in my body, the name will allow me to feel good. Even though my body may feel bad, but my mind. Do y'all understand this? The power of the name of Jesus, it regulates your mind, right? We looking for the genie in the bottle to come by and just move all of the stuff out the way, but that's not how life works. Sometimes you just got to go through. Sometimes you just got to deal with the bitter just like you do with the sweet. And you got to look at it and say, the Lord is still to be praised. Huh? Remember Job's wife tried to give him an easy way out. Curse God and die. The Lord told, Job said, you found like a foolish woman, right? The Lord giveth, right? The Lord is the one that give me everything that I have. And just like he give it, he got every right to take that thing away from me. But I still need to learn to do what? Bless him. Still need to condition my mind. Huh? Y'all understand this? All of the attacks are trying to have an effect on your mind, right? Huh? All of this stuff, it was just trying to affect their mind. And it did it. It did it. It got a hold of them. And they lost sight of who they were and who they were dealing with. See, Jesus ain't nobody to play around with. Huh? You got to realize the power of Jesus. He is the one that controls everything. Y'all understand that? He is the one that controls your body movement. Right, you can complain and murmur if you want, but you better come back to the drawing board. You better realize, hold up. It's the Lord Jesus that controls all of this stuff. Without him, I can't do nothing. That's true. Certainly you don't want to go through stuff. Certainly you want to try to avoid all of this stuff. It's not something you wake up in the morning and say, oh, Lord, I want this to happen to me. No, you don't. You want everything to go smooth. But every now and then the Lord wakes you up to bring your body back to remembrance that you're just a traveler down through here. Don't you get comfortable in this environment. Huh? Why? Because you may have to deal with folk around you that have no mind to believe in Jesus. But you need to believe in the Lord, not with some of your heart, but all of your heart, right? Hallelujah. Everything about you has to say, I believe you, Jesus. I trust you, Jesus. I'm relying and depending on you, Jesus. You are my everything. Huh? Come on, saints. Jesus, you are my everything. Huh? Come on. Hallelujah. Jesus, you are my everything. Huh? From the air that I breathe, Lord, you are my everything. You're my heartbeat. Huh? You're the one that causes my heart to beat. Jesus, you're my everything. Not some stuff, my everything, right? When I feel love. Yeah? When I feel love. Jesus, you're my everything. And when my wife come and hug me, she hugged me and she kissed me. I had to go beyond saying, oh, she loved me. I got to say, no, Jesus, you're my everything. You allowed somebody to come into my life. Huh? Come into my life and hug me and kiss me and mean it. Huh? Why? Because I can have somebody in my life that really don't mean it. Huh? They just hugging me and kiss me to see what they can get from me. But the Lord allows somebody to genuinely love me for who I am, right? I go to the source. Jesus, I thank you. Jesus, I thank you. Thank you and I praise you, Jesus. You have children? Same thing. You may not have a spouse that acting right, but you got kids that love you. call you and say, how you doing? I was thinking about you. Huh? Just want you to know you was on my mind. You got to go to the source. You can't go say, oh, I got some good kids. No, no, no. You better go to the source. Huh? Go to the source. Jesus, you touched their mind because you knew I needed to hear that. Huh? You knew that I needed to feel that, right? Huh? Go to the source. Jesus, you're looking out for who? Me. Huh? Little old me. Who in the world has turned their back on? But you're looking, you're thinking about him. Man, you go and ask them, was you really thinking about your daddy or your mama or whoever? You go and ask them seriously, no. Because I was on my way out to do X, Y, and Z. But if something just told me, call them. Who is that? That's nobody but the hand of the Lord. Lord got into that brain and said, dial the number, right? And little do they know, hear you, hello. They say, oh, they don't even know what to say sometimes. Oh, I was just thinking about you. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for your mind. Thank the Lord for your mind. But the Lord knew I needed to hear it. Huh? Lord knew I was going through. I was having a moment. Huh? And the Lord wanted me to see, I'm still here. I haven't left you nor forsaken you. And even though you don't want to lean on me, you want to hear from your family, I'm going to let your family call you. But when once they call you and you start smiling, don't you forget who is the one that controls it all. Huh? Who's the one that can get into them brains and make them do stuff when they don't want to do it, right? That's the truth. That's what scripture says, all your ways acknowledge him. Huh? That's right. We got to discipline our mind to think, in all of my ways, I got to acknowledge Jesus. Huh? Where y'all at? Where y'all, what scripture y'all at? 14. Read it.
How then should they call on him?
Yes.
Jesus, whom they have not believed.
That's all that devil's trying to do. He's trying to stop you from believing in Jesus. Go over to 2 Corinthians really quick. Really quick. 2 Corinthians, I believe, is chapter number 3. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 3. Chapter number 4. 4 and start at verse number, start at 4 and 1. Start at 4 and 1. 2 Corinthians 4 and 1.
Therefore, seeing we have this ministry.
Yes.
As we have received mercy.
Huh? What did we get, saints? Mercy. Didn't you get some mercy?
Yes.
Mercy brought you in here.
Amen.
Don't y'all realize that? You ain't get in this building by yourself.
Amen.
You ain't come up under this message on your own. Mercy did that.
Yes.
Mercy saw you at the bottom of your rope. Huh? Saying, I can't take it no more.
Right.
I don't want to give up living. Huh? I don't want to give up living, but I know it's got to be something better than this, right? Mercy saw you right then and there and brought you into the knowledge of truth. Huh? It was the hand of mercy that brought you. I didn't know you from a can of paint, but the Lord saw fit to give you a mind to say, let's put your way in somebody can be real with you. Huh? Somebody that's going to see you for who you really are, right?
Right. Thank you, Lord.
Huh?
Right.
And not leech off of you.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Thank the Lord he didn't put you with someone to leech off of you.
No.
Try to be your friend so they can take away from you.
No,
huh? Right. Tell you what you want to hear when you want to hear it.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Huh? Manipulate you.
That's
huh?
It.
No. I build you up and I'm going to tear you down.
No.
Huh? That's the truth. I build you up and I'm going to tear you down. You say, Elder Scudder, what you mean you're going to tear us down? When I see something that's not like Jesus, it's my job to take the sledgehammer to it. Huh? And as long as you stay here, you say, Elder Scudder, you're hitting me hard. It's going to hurt until you change your ways, right? It's going to hurt, right? Part of the process. Huh? Elder Scudder was talking about that yesterday, that chiseling process. Well, the Lord say, I made you a stone, and I designed you to fit in this space, huh? And we come here all jagged and crooked. It take the Lord to straighten us up, right? Huh? Take the Lord to chisel off that no good stuff. Huh? Mercy is what's working. You may not like it, but I'm telling you, it's mercy. The Lord is being merciful to you, right? You better be glad the Lord is working on you, and that devil ain't got you. Because if that devil had you, remember, he desires to sift you like wheat. Huh? He don't want nothing to be left. Huh? That devil want to break everything up about you. Huh? But mercy brings you on in. Come on, is that what the rest of that say? Come on, read a little
more. Then we have this ministry as we have received mercy.
Yes.
Faint not.
Is that, don't y'all see what the devil wants you to do? The devil wants you to faint. That word faint means give up. You ain't never seen nobody running, and they running hard. But you see the condition of their bodies not favorable. You see them sweating bullets. You see their body aching. Then all of a sudden you see them collapse. Huh? That's all. Who you think loving them collapsing? Everybody else in the race. Huh? Especially if you in front of me, I'm hoping that you get a Charlie horse. I'm hoping that you collapse. I'm hoping that you fall out. Why? Because that means if you fall out, I'm going to push forward. Huh? Come on. Isn't that the truth? That's why Paul said, don't you realize this in this race? Only one wins. Huh? And he told you to strive to be that what? In other words, don't you let nobody get the reward that's set for you. You run with everything inside of you, right? That's the truth. Don't let nobody fool you out of it. Huh? Don't let nobody fool you out of it. Somebody be done fool you out the church to get you out so they can slip on in. Huh? Huh? Talk about how no good and everything else. Oh, you ain't got to go over there. And then soon as you slip on out, guess where they be at? Right in here. And you come back and you, I thought you told me, don't you come. And you right in here. Well, look like you should have stayed. That's right. You got to be real careful. You got to understand how the enemy's attacking. Huh? And all he wants you to do is, in this race, is to do what? Faint. Fall by the wayside. Huh? Lose your strength. Lose your focus. Huh? Come on, isn't that the truth, saints? Get off track and stay off track. Huh? Get on down in the wayside, in the gutter, and talk about how beautiful the gutter is. Huh? Come on! Lord didn't save me for me to be in the gutter. He saved me to get on the highway of holiness and run. Huh? Run with everything inside of you, right? Come on, even when you have no strength. He wants me to look to him. Why? Because he's the author and the finisher of it, right? That's the truth. Come on, read a little bit more.
Uh-huh. And it says, but have renounced the hidden things.
Yes.
Of dishonesty.
Yes, isn't that the truth? So what does the saint got to do? They got to renounce. Renounce what? The hidden. Didn't we talk? What are you talking about, Elder Scudder? I'm going back to that other lesson we had. Don't you forget the other lessons. We were talking about that imagination. Huh? I don't know what's going on in your head. I don't know what you're thinking about. I don't know what you're dreaming about. But you better not let these imaginations get the best of you. And when you find that your brain is getting off, you need to ask the Lord, pull this stuff down, Lord Jesus. This stuff has got a grip on my brain, and it's affecting my thinking. I'm planning to do stuff that's outside of your will. I'm getting excited to do things that are not according to holiness. And I need you to bring all of this stuff under subjection to who you are, right? I don't want to make you upset because of what's going on in my brain, right? Then the Lord say, I see every imagination is only evil continually. That's why the Lord poured out his wrath during Noah's day, right? Noah preached a long time, repent. But the folk didn't want to hear it. They called Noah a fool. They mocked him. They laughed at him. And all Noah was trying to do was get them to turn from their wicked ways. They were none of his reproof received. Therefore, the Lord allowed the judgment to come. What was the judgment? The judgment was raindrops. Huh? Come on. I'm trying to tell you, Jesus ain't nobody to play games with. Lord, the Lord will torture you to death. Come on, don't you realize the flood was a torture to death? Huh? Y'all know rain, and you don't think much of it. They didn't think much of it. Last thing they thought, when they felt that first drop, that what Mitchell said this morning, she said, Elder Scudder, it must be about to rain. Because I felt a drop, and I said, well, I ain't feel no drop. I ain't seen nothing in the windshield. And in my mind, going back to Noah's day, when they felt the fresh drop come out of the heavens, I'm sure they didn't think much of it. Huh? Rain, we ain't never seen this before. Huh? Wonder what this is going to do. And the more it rained, the more they realized the clothes was getting wet. I'm trying to tell you what that devil will have you doing.
Y'all thought the wet t-shirt contest was something new. Huh? I'm trying to tell you what sinners do. Sinners find a way to have fun. Sinners find a way, even in judgment, to have a celebration. And I'm sure they were walking all in the street, in the rain, celebrating. How wonderful it feels to be wet outside. But little did they know, death was right at the door. Oh, this was not a temporary rain, but this was a rain to bring you death. Huh? To bring you death, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
Huh? And I can imagine when they saw that the rain did not stop and it kept on going. It no longer was a fun environment. It no longer was a time for celebration. Then they tried to make their way to the ark. Thinking they were going to crawl up. You best believe it. You better see it in your mind. You know how humans are. We're going to find a way to get in any way necessary. Even if I got to step on you to get out there. Huh? Find a way to get in any means necessary. But the Lord orchestrated that ark in such a way that couldn't nobody climb up the wall. Thank you, Jesus. Don't you realize the Lord got this church structured in such a way you're not going to be able to crawl through the window, not for eternal life. You got to come through the door, right? Lord said, you try to come in any other kind of way, you're a thief and a robber.
Yes, you are.
You got to come through the door. And who is the door? Jesus said, I am the door. Huh? I guarantee you, they weren't out there crying Jesus. They weren't crying God. Huh? But they were crying Noah. Huh? Ain't that something? Huh? Crying Noah. Noah. Well, Noah couldn't do anything. This wasn't Noah's judgment. Huh? Noah couldn't do anything to help you. Same way with me. You can call me all day long. I can't do nothing for you. Huh? I can't bring you out the Lord's judgment. You need to fall on bended knees and lift up your voice and call on the name of Jesus. He is the only one that can deliver you from your mess, right? That's the truth. That's the truth. Come on. Where you at now? Renouncing that hidden stuff. Not walking in craftiness. Stop being a sneaky saint. Huh? Stop trying to manipulate your way into the kingdom. You got to follow the Lord's plan. You got to do it Jesus' way. Huh? Come on. You got to make sure that your deeds are words that have come into the light. If you're doing dark deeds, you need to stop it. But you need to make sure your deeds are worthy to come on into the light. Why? Because the Lord is going to expose you. That's why you don't want to call on Jesus, because you don't want the Lord to expose you for who you really are, right? What are you? I'm wicked. I'm no good, right? Huh? I'm wicked. I'm no good. Huh? I'm unfit. Huh? I don't deserve to go back with Jesus. Come on, saints, do y'all believe that? I don't deserve to go back with Jesus. Isn't that what y'all read on Wednesday? These folk don't want to come into the light lest their deeds get reproved. Huh? They don't want to come into the light. They love darkness. Huh? They love to walk in the darkness. But saints, we can't operate like that. The writer said we have to renounce the hidden things. Huh? We got to renounce these hidden things. These things that are not like Jesus. We got to say enough is enough. This is not like the Lord. Jesus does not behave like this. This is not the spirit of the Lord. Huh? That's the truth. Lord doesn't have me dividing. Lord doesn't have me hating. Lord doesn't have me wishing ill will on nobody. That's not Jesus. Lord doesn't have me rolling my eyes at my brothers and my sisters. Huh? Lord doesn't have me talking about one another behind their back. That's not Jesus. Lord doesn't have me filled with what? Malice and hypocrisy. Huh? That's not Jesus. You need to renounce these hidden things. Come on, saints. I think we should be getting something from this. We need to renounce these hidden things, right? And stop trying to move in craftiness, right? Trying to be a slick saint. Huh? Bringing your old slick worldly ways over into holiness. Huh? You're just a slickster. Well, I know how I can talk my way around that. You don't know nothing. Just because you don't think I was on the streets and doing what you were doing, you got someone more wiser than you. Jesus got more wisdom than any of us. Jesus got more wisdom than any of us. The Lord will pull the covers off of you right while I'm preaching. And I don't have to know nothing about you.
That's right.
He said, well, it's because you ain't talk about it yet because he's trying to be merciful to you. But I'm trying to tell you, you better stop it. Whatever you're doing, come on. He said, you got to get out of that old crafty attitude, that crafty mentality, that slickster thinking, right? Come on, saints. Yes, I ask the Lord, take that stuff away from me, Jesus. That's not the spirit that you want to have inside of me. Right? Does that make sense? That's amazing. I intend to go over this. Lord, no, we may need to hear this. Take renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. By walking in what? By not walking in craftiness. Yes. Isn't that the truth? You're using the scriptures, but you're using them in a deceitful way. You're taking the Lord's word and using it to your advantage. You know Jesus didn't mean it like that. You know what the Lord wants that person to do, but you won't preach it. What won't I preach? They need to repent. They need to go back and do the first works again, right? And you withhold that. I know preachers right now. They're in the pulpit right at this moment, preaching down, but refuse to tell the people what they really need to hear. And they don't want to tell them because they know if they say it, they're going to walk out the door they came out. And for fear of losing money, they don't even realize the Lord done pulled the covers off of you anyway. He called you a hireling. You love filthy lucre. The money is dirty, right? You love that dollar. You love the praises of men. You won't do what the Lord told you to do. Cry loud and spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Show the people their transgressions. Show them where they're coming up short. Show them the errors of their ways. And prayerfully, they'll repent. But at the end of the day, at least I can say I did my part. At least I can say I've done what the Lord told me to do. Now, whether you listen to it or not, that's on you. But at least I can say, yep, I covered it. I preached it. I said it. They turned the deaf ear. At least I did what you told me to do, Jesus. How they respond to it is on them, right? That's between you and Jesus, right? Didn't Jesus tell them they have not rejected you, but they rejected me? Isn't that something? They may use you as a scapegoat. Say, you ain't no good, you mean, you didn't. But they may use you as a scapegoat, but you ain't really upset with me. Because you're the only one you upset with Jesus. He knows you better than I know you. He sees you when I don't see you. And the scriptures say his eyes is in every place. He beholds the good and the bad. He's the one that calls your secret sins. Is what the Lord tell you about? He call them secret sins. That's truth. Read a little bit more. Keep me moving.
But by manifestation of the truth.
Yes.
Commending ourselves. Yes. Every
man's conscience. Yes.
In the sight of God.
That's truth.
But if our God believes.
This is where I wanted you all to see it. Who is this that's trying to keep you from believing in the power of Jesus' name? What is it? Who is it? Scripture say, if the gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world has blinded what? Y'all understand this? This was Israel's problem. They invited the God of this world into their lives. That God of this world didn't bring them out of bondage. The God of this world didn't bring them through the Red Sea. The God of this world told them, curse God. Curse Moses. Tell him, I hate that you brought me out of here. Tell him, I hate that you brought me out of Egypt to die in this wilderness. We ain't got no bread and we ain't got no water. And you want us to be satisfied with this no good light bread.
Yes.
I told y'all that devil entered that fellow in here. Devil entered in that fellow even here. We were on Wallace Street and the bird did not want to move over here. And he wanted to show he wasn't going, didn't want to move over here. Saints come together and work. He refused to get in here and help. Because he was against everything. And he wanted everybody to know he was against it. He don't even realize, you ain't fooling with me. This is the Lord's work. You don't hinder the Lord's work. Jesus' work keep on moving with or without you. Isn't that something? You think you got all these hands? The Lord brought us back to square one. Huh? Yeah, the saints helped out with the painting and all that. I'm not saying you didn't do anything. But that stuff that y'all didn't want to do. Huh? Somebody had to get in here and do it. Huh? And it wasn't pretty work. It wasn't easy work. It was a lot of sweat. A lot of late nights. Huh? While you were home sleeping, somebody was in here late night stapling. When that fella told him, y'all ain't gonna be able to put all that insulation up. We looked at him and said, man, you don't know who we are. Lord, bless our hands to do the work. And sure enough, he came back in and said, oh man, y'all do the whole thing all by yourself. Oh. Yeah, you thought you was gonna get another dollar from us. Lord showed you different, didn't he? Huh? That's why I say everybody's not gonna be what you're doing. But you gotta know, as I said in the beginning, you got to know that the Lord is with you. And if the Lord is with you, you can get through it. Amen. Huh? See what the Lord did? Huh? This wasn't no overnight thing. It was a lot of sweat and tears. Huh? I'm trying to tell you, that whole back, Brother Pendleton parking back there now, wherever, but that whole back was full of dirt and trees that did not grow on our property. And we had to move them. A lot of sweat. Huh? A lot of tears. Huh? Did I feel like doing it? No. No. You pay folk, you want them to do what you pay them to do, right? But that devil tried to make you an unbeliever. That's why I tell you all, don't always look for the job to be easy. Job sometimes is hard. Sometimes the job will keep you up at night and you'll be crying. I'm talking about the job. I'm talking about your work. The thing that you have to go through, your labor. It'll be easy to just snatch you out of it and say, oh, no, I ain't got to deal with it. No, but the Lord say, no, no, no. You need to suffer a while in this thing. Why? Because in your suffering, it's going to do what? Establish you. It's going to make you fixed. Don't you want to be fixed? I want to be unmovable. Huh? That means when the wind comes, I ain't going nowhere, right? When the storm come, I ain't going. The Lord can depend on who? Me. I'm fixed, right? I'm settled, right? When the murmurs and the complainers try to get in my ear, no.
That's it.
What you think about old elders? You all right with me?
Yeah.
Huh? I saw what he said to you. I saw how he pulled you to the side and said, this, what you think about that? He don't bother with such and such and such. Why he bothering with you all, sir? Because I need it. He's watching for my soul. I'm trying to tell you, the whisperers will be there. But it's how you deal with them, right? And you can't forget what the Lord brought who? You. He brought you through for one person. To fix you and establish you. Why? Because he knew that no good thing will be coming through the air. After who? After you. The God of this world. What is he after? He's after your faith, right? He just don't want you to do what? Believe. Huh? Remember, if the gospel be hid, is hid unto them that are lost. And whom the God of this world have done what? Blinded the minds of them that do what?
Believe.
Lest the what? The light.
Of the glory of God
to Christ,
who is the image of God,
should do what? See what the devil is trying to prevent from coming into your life? The God of all creation. The devil doesn't want Jesus to be inside of you. Huh? He wants you to be a stargazer.
Huh? In all of his creation. But little do you know the hope that you have to have the one that made the stars, that made the waves and the wind. I can actually have him living.
Amen.
Huh?
Yes.
Come on, do y'all understand that? The devil don't want that to happen. He's trying to get everything he can do to keep the God of all creation from actually doing what? Living inside of me. God has said, I will walk up and down inside of them, right? I'll be their God and they shall be my people, right? Israel had that opportunity, saints.
Thank you.
They had the opportunity to be called the people of God. And they said that they did not want it. And what did the Lord say? Because of their murmuring, because of their complaining, he poured out his wrath on them, didn't he? Huh? No, I didn't lose sight of what I was talking about. You say, Elder Scott, you don't went all the way over here. I'm bringing you back to verse number 6 now. Verse number 6 said he allowed the fiery serpents to come among them. And what did it do? It bit them. What happened to them? They died. I'm trying to tell you, the Lord didn't bring you into the church for you to die. But you fool around with Jesus and don't appreciate this salvation, this will be the worst thing you ever did. I have a brother that said that. He didn't do right by Jesus. And he had his mouth. He said, this was the worst thing that he could have ever done. Isn't that sad? But all he had to do is humble himself and stop trying to fight Jesus. Just be submissive to what Jesus tells you to do. Why? The beginning of your bulletin, that chapter in Ezekiel asks you a question. Why will you die? When all you got to do is look to Jesus and do what? Live. Why face death and all of the stuff that go along with it? Don't you realize each one of them snakes are avoidable? Y'all see the front of your bulletin? You don't have to live like that. Each one of those snakes are avoidable. But what do I need to do? Follow what the fella told you up top. Look to Jesus and do what? Realize you're not living apart from Jesus. Because you got a home and a car and a couple of girlfriends in your phone, a couple of boyfriends in your phone. You're not living outside of Jesus. What does it profit you to gain all of this stuff? And then lose what? Your own. You realize that the church is here to focus on what? Your soul. That's it, saints. All right. Trust y'all got something. I ain't going to hold you no longer. I ain't intend to hold you as long as I did. But I just want us to understand we need to stop blaming the devil for everything. You go around blaming the devil. The devil don't care you blame him because he know he ain't the cause of you being in this situation. You in this by yourself. You focusing on what I did, and I'm just sitting there looking at you happy. Happy that you have no clue. Huh? Isn't that a part of Satan's plan? Is to deceive? Huh? Make you all upset with him. Devil ain't no good. I hate him. He did all this. Devil said, I ain't did nothing to you. You doing it all of this to yourself. These are your choices and your decisions. You chose this. Chose this life and everything to go along with it. Huh? You the one acting like Jesus don't know you. And Jesus don't see you. Huh? Why, I know don't nobody see me. Well, you got this thing all wrong. I don't ever see no saints, none during the week. Well, you got it all wrong. You may never see a saint in your travels. But somebody's always sitting beside you. Huh? Somebody's always sitting beside you. And they looking at everything. Huh? And they real deep in how they look at you. They ain't just looking at what you're doing. They all in your head. Huh? Don't y'all know that? Jesus said, I'm a discerner of thoughts. And the intents of your heart, right? See everything. He don't miss nothing. Huh? He misses nothing.
Even when you put, you know how some people be, they be digging it all in their pockets because they don't want nobody to see their money. They be all like this. You don't know Jesus see you.
Nope.
Jesus see everything in your pocket, everything in your wallet. Huh? He sees it all. He knows your history on your phone. He know everything you deleted. Yeah.
Y'all, I'm going to tell y'all flat footed. Y'all know I'm the technology. Just because you delete it don't mean it's gone.
Right.
Everything you do, all of your touch points are on somebody's server. And the Lord help you when you hear them talk about, oh, we had a security breach.
What does that security breach mean? Somebody got access to somebody's server. And they downloaded all of that data. Huh? Huh? Well, you thinking your life is so top secret? Huh? You think everything you're doing is just so covert that all of a sudden, huh? Stuff start popping up on your phone. I ain't never went to there. Ooh. Somewhere in your browser, you don't understand, your browser learns you. That thing that you call on your phone, and all it's doing is learning you. And based upon your behaviors, it sends certain things to you.
Yep.
So every now and then you see someone popping up in a swimsuit.
That's it.
You're like, well, where in the devil did that come from? Huh? Because
yep.
The saint looking over your phone. I didn't look at this. The devil has got in my phone. No. It's not the devil that got in your phone. The devil got into your mind. And that stuff that you was doing behind closed doors, that you thought nobody would ever figure out, it done caught up with you. Hmm? That's the truth. I'm trying to tell you how this stuff works. Many people, police department done got them and locked them up. They done